Hey, good morning. Good Monday morning. March 4th. This is Skip. Hope things are well with you. It's 4:30 a.m. I'm super early today. I got up at 4, decided not to go back to bed. I typically get up at 4:30 on work days. I'm just one of those people who needs to sit for a little while, a couple hours. And I don't have to fight the puppy. I don't have to fight our podcast puppy, Coco, who seems to want to play whenever I record. Now, it doesn't mean he won't run out here in about 2 seconds, right? I'm starting to think not only small children are for young people, but puppies are for young people, too. I want to offer a little hope on this Monday. I hope every time I give a podcast, I hope there's some hope in it. But I want to give a little hope. But first, I think we need to look at why we have to muster hope. Why we have to name hope, and why it should always be present there. Why we should always be looking for the new, for the rebirth, for the newness of life. Why that metaphor of newness and rebirth is so prevalent in all of spirituality. But I think it's really important right now. So bear with me. We are going to get to hope, but I want to share something with you here to kind of set that up. We live in strange times, my friends. I don't say that lightly. We live in strange times. There is a strange energy at work in the world. A very different kind of feel than I've ever felt before. And it's been developing. At least for me, anyway. Beginning on September 11th, 2001. That's a date when I noticed tangibly a different feeling. I think we all did, those of us who were alive and there on that day. But, you know, also through the advances of technology and the advances of certain political movements and the sort of mass exodus from religion turning to something new, which I personally believe is not necessarily a bad thing, but it's just all of these sorts of components that have really made me feel as though there's a very strange sort of mojo at work in the world. And the more I sort of probe and ask and get a feel for what people are feeling and thinking, the more I see that it's true for most of us. Now, maybe it's not for you, and that's okay, but I think for most of us, we turn on the news or we talk to a friend, and we just, there's this thing now that wasn't there before, you know? I'm not really sure how else to name it. Now, part of that may be my spiritual growth and me looking at things differently, certainly. But I think in general, let me just sort of tell you about some of the conversations I've had. Last Friday, I was doing some para-educating in a room with a student. And unfortunately, our regular teacher had a family emergency. And so they brought a substitute in. And the substitute was a nice lady who was retired from teaching. She had taught kindergarten for 20 years. She had been in teaching for 50. So, a lot of wisdom there. And so I decided to sort of ask, you know, are things different? You know, I've only been at this a little over a year. And are things different? And it took her no seconds at all to say, oh my, yes. That there is something vastly different about the mindset. And I'm kind of paraphrasing here our conversation, but something vastly different about the mindset of children and their families and society in general. And I've had this conversation with a lot of people. I do that kind of thing. You know, I want to know how you see it. Do you feel the same kind of misgivings and discomfort? And I have to tell you, my friends, that whether I'm talking to people about religion or spirituality or education, that in some way or another, everyone, from politics to religion to education to the state of the world, every single person I talk to feels something off. Now, we've always had our issues, right? There's never been a time in human history when we haven't had some issue. Of course, we didn't always have the access to the issues that we have through instant communication and technology. And I'm certainly not going to be nostalgic about the good old days because they had their own issues. But I do sense in myself there is a difference from, let's say, you know, my youth. I'm 58, so, you know, adolescence in the 70s, teenager in the 80s, adult in the 90s. That on some level, I had a sense that things were going to be okay. Sociologically, you know. That's gone. And I think it's gone for a lot of people, or it's different, that's for sure, for a lot of people. Now that sounds depressing, doesn't it? And I'm not here to depress you. But I'm here to make a claim for us. Because I think if my life proves anything to me, is that when those moments of helplessness and haplessness and those sort of moments of giving up happen, what can come from that is something new. And I get a great, profound sense that something new is on the horizon for us as a race, as a human race. However, I think we have to play out the scenarios that we have created in our false reality in order to get to that transformative space, At least in my life, it has always been a great stripping away of ego that has facilitated spiritual growth. I think that's true with all of us to some degree. And I certainly think it's true that collectively, if we're ever going to live, to quote Abraham Lincoln, from the better angels of our nature, then something has to facilitate that. Because we're not going to, and this has always been true, we're not going to live from the better angels of our nature automatically. There's too much ego. There's too much false reality. there's too many concepts that we have no proof of, no substance to, that we claim as real. And if we look back over human history, I think we can see that there have been cataclysms and disasters that have facilitated, at least briefly in some most cases, the better angels of our nature, the better part of us, the more authentic part of us. And it's important for us who are serious about authenticity, who are serious about spirituality. And it's important for us who see the false reality for what it is to do the best we can to every day engage and put kindness and love into the world. We're not going to do it perfectly. We have our own stuff individually. Maybe we're frustrated with our job, our family. We're certainly frustrated with the way the world is, because that's, you know, kind of what I'm talking about right here. At least I am. But it's important that those of us who see things, see the false reality for what it is, see what it means to live from an authentic place, it's important for us to hold on to hope and keep engaged in healthy ways. So I hope that you have hope. And I hope that you see that a lot of the really dysfunction of the world is really the false reality playing itself out. And because it's false, it will eventually have to transform into what is real. The same is true in your life. What is false will eventually have to transform into what is real. And that transformation may be facilitated by all sorts of things. Crisis. Happiness, kindness, forgiveness, realizations that the way you're living and what you're thinking isn't in line with your authenticity. Because the truth is, and I'm convinced of this, and here's the hope, and I'm going to leave you right here, that if it's true for us individually, that the purpose of life is rebirth and transformation, the purpose of life is the self discovery of your truest self, then it's got to be true for us collectively. I hear you, my friends. I'm listening to those around me who are wondering what the hell is going on in our world. What is going on with our children? What is going on with our society? What is going on with our politics and our religion? Well, I'm convinced what is going on is a big, big, big transformation of the human species. And I hope that your life and my life can help that transformation happen. There you have it. Thanks for your time. And I'll talk to you real soon. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning, hopefully a little bit later. See you then, friends. Bye-bye.